Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, Jay and Kim.
What's up, Max?
I'm going to recharge my battery.
Yeah. You feel drained from the first 2 hours?
Yeah.
Just a tad.
I mean, dealing with you and him.
I mean, Chris Canty at it.
Draining.
Dan into Grosje, the mic, Key. It's hard
hey,
to hear.
Hey. It's hard to hear me?
Okay, now it's better.
It's because he's drained.
Yeah, he's drained. Yeah, battery exactly. Drained.
Yes. Battery pack. You got to charge your battery, man.
I'm re-energized now.
Okay.
That was just a quick
welcome
joke.
Back. Welcome back.
Plug me in. It's like a phone. You know, I'm ready to go.
What's this with the shoulders?
You said what?
What's that with the shoulders?
You know, you're down, and then all of a sudden you perk up.
You know? So, speaking of recharging,
oh god,
the chargers.
Boo.
They're recharging.
You know the Giants, Max. You know what the Giants did?
Recharging.
You know the Giants? They decided
The Wizard and Wizardry. The Wizard and
Wizardry. The Giants. You say anything about the Giants, I'm all ears. I can't wait. I'm champing at the bit. All right. Kellen Moore. That didn't take long. New OC in L.A. for the – I always want to say San Diego. New OC for the Chargers. Key, you like that?
I mean, it's fine. I mean, Kellen Moore did a decent job with the Cowboys at times. Joe Lombardi, I guess it just didn't work out. It's interesting It's interesting that Joe Lombardi was relieved of his duties when it was a 27-point lead against Jacksonville in the postseason game in the wild card, right? Joe Lombardi, you know what staff he came from, Max, Jay? You know what staff he came from?
Joe Lombardi.
Yeah, think about it. He came from a gold and black team that's in the South, that head coach is available now, and he was friends with this guy. And then all of a sudden, he's relieved of his duties. So when he was fired, I was sitting there saying, well, okay, does this have anything to do with the offense that scored 27 points? Didn't surrender anything. They didn't get going in the second half much. But is that the reason? Because clearly since he's been there, Justin Herbert's been pretty good. Or is he too close to Sean Payton that they were like, you know, it's time to get rid of him right now. But I think Kellen Moore is fine. Justin Herbert was in this same offense his rookie year, I think it was. He was in this offense, this style of offense, his rookie year under Coach Lynn. So, and he did well. So it's not a huge learning curve. I think it'll be fine. I mean,
I frankly think this is the opportunity of a lifetime for Kellen Moore. I think Kellen Moore has been given a gift to get out of the way of Jerry Jones, to get out of the way of Dan Quinn, what the defense is supposed to be. And also, frankly, he is getting an upgrade at the quarterback position. And look, we like Dak Prescott on this show, but we talk about a quarterback that has been playing with barbecue ribs all season long, and throughout injuries to wide receiver after wide receiver, he got his team into the playoffs. Like, they hit their stride, and granted, they gave up a 27-point lead. I understand that epic collapse. Even if Joe Lombardi too close to Sean Payton, for Kellen Moore right now, you've been relieved of the responsibility and all the weight that comes along with Dallas, getting Dallas over the hump. Now you're out there in L.A. with the Chargers, with the team that is waiting to go next level with their quarterback. It's the gift of the lifetime for Kellen Moore.
He's a big-time quarterback. There's no question about it. And if you surround him with the right pieces and the right coaching staff, and he could possibly be one of the guys that you talk about for the next 10 years. Or it could possibly go the other way. When coaches start firing coordinators and making changes on the staff, that smells to me like, uh-oh, somebody's in trouble. So I think Staley's in trouble, and he's trying to, you know, save face, save his job. So now he's mixing things up as much as he can to try to get over the so-called hump, because if Sean doesn't take a job this year, he's going to be waiting in the wings 100%. And there'll be other people standing in line waiting at the same time.
Don't you think, Rashawn, you wait one more year to see what happens to Brandon Staley? Like, it doesn't seem like any options.
I don't think there's any good jobs that's available.
That's right. Arizona. I'm sitting there saying, you know what, Arizona?
Unless you just want to rebuild. I mean, he did take over New Orleans at a time when Katrina was there and in the way they had just happened, and they went on to have a historical, magical season. So it's not like he hasn't faced adversity before in situations. I mean, he's been in New Orleans with all sorts of travesties going on.
I mean, think about it. I'll wait, Max, because I don't know what's happening in Buffalo, Sean McDermott. We got a lot to find out this year with Josh Allen.
I don't think Sean McDermott going anywhere anytime soon.
Sean McDermott, come on, man.
2 years.
It's not hot.
But Max, if they don't come out, if they fall flat again next year.
Then it gets hot. But then I agree with Key. Then you got another year.
But that's 2 years.
I think it's two on McDermott, but that's moving in that direction.
I think it's a little bit hotter than what you guys are saying.
It's 2 years.
I think it's a tad bit hotter than what you guys think it might
be. Hey, guys, let's get back to the Chargers for a second, because the real question is this. And, Key, I know. John Elway, I know. I watched that, too, as a kid, right? I don't have your eyes for it.
No, you don't. Like,
no kidding. I didn't play receiver in the NFL for 11 years.
No, you did.
But the idea for me, like with Justin Herbert, I'm not saying the deep ball is the most important thing. It's not even the second, probably not the third most important thing a quarterback does, right? You got to read the defense first. You got a lot of stuff to do. But in terms of accuracy down the field on the deep ball, Justin Herbert, someone said, who's the best you've ever seen throwing the ball down the field accurately, like bombs, like laser-guided missiles? Herbert's the best I've seen doing that thing. You would think an offensive coordinator would want to take advantage of that because he has a unique skill there. What do you think Kellen Moore means for Justin Herbert?
I think he gets a guy who played the position, who understands the quarterback position. It'll be interesting to see if you're now dealing with a defensive-minded coach, what that means, because when you have Mike McCarthy and you have Brian Schottenheimer and those type of coaches around you, their input is a little different than maybe a defensive-minded coach who really probably is turning over the keys to you on the offensive side of the ball. Mike McCarthy didn't call the plays, but he certainly didn't give Kellen Moore free rein to do what he wanted to do. He certainly didn't do that because he has input. Hey, we need to do this on third down. I like this run on third down. I like this on second down.
Well, they had a kind of predictable offense.
So it was like one of those situations. Kellen Moore may have called it, but I'm sure Mike McCarthy had his fingers on the pulse. Where now with Brandon Staley, you may not have that situation. Now he may be able to coach the quarterback in the offense without having another offensive-minded coach in the room.
By the way, did you guys notice that the timing of when Dallas decided to announce Kellen Moore's departure from the team? Like, it wasn't with the first group of people they let go, Max, right? It was during the NFL's title conference games.
No doubt. I did
like, so
that.
It's like one of those things you're like,
a few days later.
No, but they do it, they time the news cycle.
That's a news cycle, man.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's almost like the same way we were all talking about DeMar Hamlin for the longest time, and we weren't talking about what's the situation that was popping off? I'm drawing a blank on it right now.
I have no idea what you're talking about. But
Jay's saying
that
Jerry Jones times things in such a way to dominate headlines.
You guys are unbelievable.
We weren't talking about Dana White, right? It's like news cycles of when things come out. Like, DeMar Hamlin, that was going on, right?
I mean,
it,
I know.
It completely squashed what happened to Dana White. And it's
but,
the same thing
but
with
I'm
this.
I'm not going to say Jerry Jones hijacked the NFC Championship game.
He didn't hijack it.
Well, you said that. But
He didn't hijack it.
I said it, but y'all saying it.
No, he stole some headlines.
He's throwing it underneath, essentially, so it's not a
Do you remember years ago, guys, when A-Rod redid his deal during, the World Series or something? And that became – he got criticized for that? Key, people are very aware if you make a big deal and have a press release before a championship game, people feel a certain kind of way about that, especially if you have a knack for publicity as Jerry Jones does.
I don't look at it that way. Whether you fire Kellen Moore today – or you fired Kellen Moore a week ago. It's Kellen Moore. This is not the head coach. It's Kellen Moore. It's not the head coach. So it was never going to get the attention of a head coach being fired. It just wasn't. It wasn't going to get the head attention.
So if McCarthy is calling plays, he's coaching for his job next
year. That means
year, right?
Dak Prescott now is McCarthy's savior. Right?
I would, as I've always said, I'm not ever giving up play calling duties as an offensive mind when I be hired as a head coach. I'm not putting my career and my faith in the hands of somebody else. I'm just not doing it.
But you also are not sure if that was mandated from above. Because of how he inherited Kellen Moore from the beginning.
No, like,
Kellen Moore and Dak Prescott were very, very close when Mike McCarthy came in.
But that's why he wanted to keep.
Exactly.
He wanted
continuity.
To keep, which is smart on his part, the continuity of it, agreed. Because Dak Prescott was coming off a pretty good year at the quarterback spot. So it made sense to keep him there. But I'm saying I would, most offensive-minded coaches that I know don't give up play calling duty. Sean McVay, John Gruden,
Sean Payton,
Andy Reid. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Eric Bieniemy.
But that took a minute. Not at the beginning. In the beginning stages, they don't do that. They just don't do it. It's something that's why you got the job.
So pretty much, we're saying that Dak Prescott's line is on the job. His job is on the line next year. And same with Mike McCarthy. They are tied together.
Yes,
I would say going to be conversations about the futures of both of them, depending on how the season unfolds. I could certainly say that.
No one else to fall on the sword now.
McCarthy gets rid of the play caller and takes over those responsibilities. That's Jerry telling and McCarthy coming to an understanding that it is on you.
Oh, what? It's not phrased that way, though, Max.
Max, that's why I said that Dak Prescott now is the only savior for Mike McCarthy.
Or vice versa, right?
Really, if the quarterback doesn't play well, who's the one calling the plays?
But this is not 10 years ago, though, Jay, where coaches had long runways. They're only going to afford coaches nowadays 3 and 4 years until they do something and then extend them beyond that. That's just the way the league is as a whole.
I wasn't objecting to that.
No.
I'm saying we're actually agreeing.
I understand that.
They're both on the hot seat.
Boy, that doesn't sound like an agreement. After falling in the AFC Championship game.
What is this knucklehead talking about?
Where do the Bengals go from here? Should they make Joe Burrow the highest paid player in the NFL? A look at the Bengals offseason is next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
It's Mahomes' house, baby. Arrowhead. I love this place, man.
My goal is to win the Super Bowl. To me, the job's not finished.
And I can't wait till Kansas City and Philly clash. It's gonna be awesome, man. I mean, what a great Super Bowl will be.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and Mo Egger joins us now, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning, Max. How are you?
doing well. The Bengals, look, came one, took the greatest defensive tackle who ever lived, the greatest play of his career to stop Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase from winning the Super Bowl a year ago. And now this year you get all the way back to the AFC Championship game and almost win. Like, the game could go either way. You're not going to win every close game. I figured they were probably due to lose one like that, and they did. On the other hand, so, like, great season, great couple seasons. On the other hand, you almost win the Super Bowl, and you almost get all the way back. And what's the feeling in Cincinnati about how the season went?
You know, I'm not sure there's any one feeling. I think there's a combination of a sense of pride over what this team has accomplished. I mean, look, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. If I would have said to you 2 years ago, this team is going to play in a Super Bowl and then go back and lose in the AFC Championship game, you would have said, relative to their recent history, even not so recent history, I'll take that. And so I think there's a sense of accomplishment to a degree. I think there's optimism for the future. They're going to have Joe Burrow for the foreseeable future. They have a good roster, even though they obviously have some guys they have to make decisions about. But also, you don't know how many chances you're going to get. And the sense walking out of SoFi Stadium last year was, boy, they were a whisker away from winning a championship. When's the next time you're going to be in that position? Think about how good this team was this year. They had the best record in franchise history. They won 10 consecutive games. They go to Kansas City. They stand toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. They beat the Chiefs in the regular season, and yet they couldn't even get back to the point they were at last year. And so how many chances are you going to get? I think, you know, obviously there's the discussion about, well, was the season a success? I'm not sure you could really answer that question for another few years, because if this ends up being a necessary step along the way toward eventually winning a title, I think we'll look back at this season with a degree of fondness. If this is as close as they get to getting back to the Super Bowl for a while, though, I think this will be looked at as a tremendous missed opportunity.
When you look at it, though, Mo, and you kind of scratch your head about what happened and how it unfolded this year, I can't help but to think that this division as a whole is going to be much better next year and tougher to get out of division. Baltimore, you play them in the wild card weekend. If it wasn't for Huntley, a magical touchdown, scoop and score with 10 minutes to go in the game, maybe it becomes a different outcome. Lamar Jackson on the field, maybe that's different. What's going to happen with Deshaun Watson in Cleveland now that he's under contract in the fold with a year of training camp and offseason and all of those things under his belt with this team? And what about Pittsburgh? Will this feel like a lost opportunity as the season unfolds next year and Cincinnati may not be in it?
Well, I think you're right about the AFC North. I mean, Zach Taylor said it yesterday. Look at this division. Everybody's split with each other. As good as the Bengals were this season, they lost a game to Baltimore, lost a game to Pittsburgh. This is extraordinarily competitive. They lost a game to Cleveland. I think Pittsburgh probably has their QB for the foreseeable future. You would expect Deshaun Watson certainly to play better. If for no other reason, he's going to play, barring injury, a full season. And the Baltimore Ravens, despite whatever they've got to figure out with Lamar Jackson, they're the Baltimore Ravens. I would say this, though. I'd rather play from ahead. You know, right now everybody is chasing Cincinnati. I'd rather be the chasee than the chaser. But, yeah, sure, look, you go into any year in this division, understanding it's going to be formidable. But I'd rather be the lead dog going in than the team that's got to play catch up. But yeah, look, they won the division. I think they've really got to put a premium on getting the one seed. Because go back to this offseason, right? They kind of took it easy. They started OTAs in May. Their training camp was light even by modern standards. Obviously, Joe Burrow's appendectomy was a factor. But they had kind of a weird offseason. And when the season began, what did they do? Played terribly and sloppily against Pittsburgh to start the season, lost at home, went to Dallas, lost on the road to Cooper Rush. You start 0-2, you can recover from that and win the division. You can recover from that and make the playoffs. There is such an advantage to being the number one seed now. It puts a premium now on getting off to a fast start because, you know, again, you start 0-2, you can get back to the postseason, you can win a division. I'm not sure, especially with the division they're in, with the Kansas City Chiefs in the conference, with the Buffalo Bills in the conference. We can throw the Chargers and any number of teams into the mix if you want. There's such a clear advantage to being the one. You can't keep going back to Arrowhead and continue to expect to win playoff games. I think that puts a premium on a faster start to the season. I think that is going to compel them to at least look at how they handle the offseason.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Mo, a lot of the trash talking, you know, as a former player, I don't think anything of it. I think it's a lot of manufactured hype. But, you know, when Cincinnati's mayor comes out and asked Patrick Mahomes to take a paternity test to be Joe Burrow's dad, this whole Burrowhead thing, what was the reaction like in Cincy from all the smack talk?
You know, I think much of it is fun and harmless. I thought the mayor kind of made a fool out of himself. Just if you're going to do something that's an attempt at humor, it should at least be funny. I think it's going to be interesting if they're in a similar position next year to see if they ratchet all of that back. And look, it wasn't every player on the team. In fact, I think a lot of the trash talk was based on what they had accomplished. I also think this team, look, the way they approach week to week with the chip on their shoulder, playing up the disrespect angle, for the most part, it worked for them, right? It worked for them against Buffalo. They obviously had, I think, an axe to grind with the NFL because of how they handled the reseeding of the postseason. That is very likely to not be a factor next year. But I do sort of wonder if they're in a position like this, whether it be against Kansas City or anybody else, if that'll be dialed back a little bit. Because I was in Kansas City on Saturday and Sunday. The Burrowhead comment, it had a lot of life leading up to the game. It was obviously brought up after the game. Obviously, we don't know if Eli Apple is going to come back. He's due to be an unrestricted free agent. A lot of the trash talk, frankly, centers around his Twitter feed. I don't know how productive some of that stuff is. But, yeah, look, it worked for them. The disrespect angle, the us against everybody, the, you know what, we're going to show the receipts if we win. They were 12-4. They won two playoff games. It didn't work against them throughout the course of the regular season. It didn't work against them in their first two playoff games. Was that a factor when they played the Kansas City Chiefs? I don't really think so. But does that mean they shouldn't revisit how they handle a game like this next year? No, not at all.
Mo Egger, ladies and gentlemen, 1530, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Thanks, Mo.
Guys, thank you.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. 49ers. Brock Purdy. He was going to be the guy, right? Like, developed Trey Lance. Brock Purdy can hold it down. He tore his UCL in his right elbow. So, is Tom Brady really an option next season in San Francisco? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Brock Purdy has been taken out of the game.
Oh, no.
Josh Johnson, the veteran, is in to play quarterback.
They were hoping that it was just a sprained UCL that would require 6 weeks of rest, but the test today showed a tear of the UCL.
If this guy's got to have surgery, then there's no doubt in my mind that San Francisco is going after another quarterback.
Well. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
It's backyard domino music, Max. What you know about that?
We are on the ESPN app, which you probably already have on your phone. Click more on the lower right-hand corner of the app. Scroll down to live radio, and we're right there.
Max, if I had your hands, man, I cut mine off.
Wait, what?
What's that going on, boy?
It's your world, brother. I'm just living in it.
Yeah, it's your world. And I'm just living in it, young fella.
I want to be like you when I get over, man.
I want to be like you when I get
and
over.
You got it. You got it.
You got, you it. Got it.
I can't call it, cuz.
I can't call it.
Is an MVP caliber quarterback still a must in today's NFL? 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776.
I was asking, Max, I was asking Jay during the break. And you don't golf like me, like, right? You don't.
No, I don't golf.
But you don't really golf. You just go to the country club to eat and to use their facilities.
Yeah, I said I don't golf. Yeah. But I was asking you, why do y'all talk
why
like do, that?
Why though? Is it y'all, though?
Why is everything always the voice inflection and like, yeah, we're going to go play nine. Instead of, yeah, we're going to go play nine. Like, yeah, I'm going to play with Pat. We're going to go out on the course and we're going to
get it
in.
Go rip it up. Go get
and
it.
Rip it up. It's always, yes.
I mean, new golf is like that. New golf is like that. It's the old traditional golf that I think.
You know? So you got to change.
It's like the corporate board kind of like, yeah, let's go play 18.
Let's go play 18.
Yeah.
Key, you ever catch like on ESPN, they'll ESPN Classic back, and they'll rerun like a Home Run Derby back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, okay.
And no more ESPN Classic, but I get it.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying that's why I said back in the day. They would do it on ESPN Classic. But if you listen to like Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays and everyone, back then they really did talk like, well, I'll tell you what, you know, like that's really how people were talking back then.
But we're not back then, Max. We're talking about today. Right now, I just find it fascinating. Jay,
don't stop saying
yeah, but
me.
Golf has
and
all
y'all.
That kind of mentality.
Hey, I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about the people that play golf. They just have
a lot of, you know, U's and I's.
Still,
in these
though,
places.
It's just even no, because even when they're not on the course and they're with me, they don't do that. But when they get to those facilities,
code switching.
I'm like, why?
Code switching?
Yeah, you switch up. I do a lot of it. When I'm with you, I make sure that I'm, you know, and when I'm with Jay, certain way. When I'm with Yates, certain way. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm a code switcher. I get
same
it.
Same thing.
Oh, okay.
Same thing.
Just and funny
certain,
to me.
You could be in certain states.
Bob
and
might feel
bring
a little bit intimidated.
Too.
We're like, let's go get nine. You got to say, Bob, let's go play nine. You know? Just defuse this thing.
Let's go
just,
get nine.
Yeah, let's go get nine. Bob's like, hey, I don't want nine millimeter. I don't want to, you know. So it's just different. You know, tone matters.
I guess. I just.
Oh, my God.
They need to
you
put
object
like
to the formality?
A real lax country club, though. They need to build one. Like, just one where you don't have to wear the polo shirts.
We're building.
Just wear it
they,
out.
They
just
do
wear
have those.
You want.
They have those. They're called public golf courses.
I don't think I've ever been to a country club. I'm trying to think if I've ever been inside a country club. I don't. Maybe I,
hate
I
to,
don't remember.
I hate to spoil everything for you, Pat. I don't know what a public golf course is.
I do,
I
Pat.
Can tell.
I do, Pat.
I don't.
Fine.
I just don't.
What you're wearing currently,
you can
wear that
a
to a
course,
public
yes.
golf course.
Yeah.
And pay yeah. about and pay about
no shirt
20
tucked
bucks.
In, belt
yeah,
out.
Yeah, but the grass is brown. And
then you got to wait 9 hours for a tee
wait,
time.
Wait. Is there a dress code for private
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like, it's beyond
oh,
dress code.
Beyond. Oh, and then if you come in there a certain way, Yates, they going to look at you and your guests crazy.
I can't walk in there just with a bucket hat.
And Yates, here's a kicker for you. Your guests can't pay. So say you want to do a party, like, yo, we're going to bring 10 people. No. That's on Mr. Johnson's
I
card.
Learned that. I learned that when I, it when gets I you first on that. Joined a course. You know me, how I am. I'm a nice dude. I got friends. So some of my friends is L.A. entertainment guys, and I'm not going to mention the names or whatever. And my course is south of L.A., about 50 minutes in a very affluent suburban community, a majority of white folk. So I tell these dudes to go down there and
see
play.
See how coach with dudes. You see these dudes?
Oh, watch out. I tell them to go down there and play. I don't want to say their names. So yeah. I go, on, man. Yeah, because they know I'm a member of the course. Everybody wants to play the course. So I'm like, cool, no problem. Man, just go. I'll get the pro caddy to take them out on the course. I have to, if I'm not there, the pro caddy got to go with all this sort of rules and whatnot.
Oh, they got you in the pro shop.
Man, them dudes, wait, the hold shop. On.
Clubs, balls,
man, I got the
gloves,
bill.
Shirts.
I got the bill. I look, and I get the bill later on, a month later. And I look, and I'm like, so I call, and I'm like, I didn't do this. This ain't me.
I didn't do this.
They like, no, you're there. Your guest, this, that, and the other. Man, that damn bill, they had balls.
Oh, yeah.
Shirt food and drinks. The drinks was crazy because it wasn't like cheap liquor, well liquor.
Oh, no, they ordered
high-end.
They
was ordering
end.
The top shelf premium. Stuff. And then the food. They was ordering crab legs and all.
On a golf
like,
course?
Oh, yeah. On the course, hey, man.
Filet mignons. They got it all.
Man, I told the people, the food and beverage manager, I'm like,
y'all gotta stop
why did y'all
friends.
Not charge them? They go, oh, no, Mr. Johnson, then you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll never happen again.
That's how they
get catch
you.
Me at the putt-putt, Jay.
Nah.
All day.
Putt-putt season.
We going to chop this up. When I invite y'all, y'all can, what do y'all call it, Venmo and all of those stuff? Yeah. Yeah, y'all can Zelle me. Yeah,
well, I mean, Key, I know how you feel because I just ordered you two coffee, and it cost me $11 for two coffees.
Skinny
so.
Macchiato, venti, 14 Venmo. Large.
Yeah. What size
sugar.
Is the waist? Let's go in, let's go in.
Sorry, Max, cream, we hijacked it.
Max, are you okay? You haven't talked in like 2 minutes,
Max
and
like
I feel
golf.
Like you're getting very anxious.
I'm enjoying the time off.
No, Max just...
We're building.
He just damped his forehead from all the sweat. You know, he's sitting here just going into... Sorry, Max.
No.
We burned that segment.
Keep going.
No, we burned
talk about Brock Purdy's UCL and his right
the
elbow.
UCL in the golf swing,
UCLA,
Jay.
Yeah.
All right, Max.
Adam Schefter.
8:39.
Want to hear from Adam Schefter?
Sure.
Here's the latest on Brock Purdy's injury. This is from the 6 p.m. Sports Center last night.
When he initially suffered the injury, they were hoping that it was just a sprained UCL that would require 6 weeks of rest. But the test today showed a tear of the UCL, and it's a situation now where 49ers doctors are recommending that he has surgery. Now, before he has surgery, Brock Purdy wants to explore other medical opinions before he has to do that, but it certainly sounds like he's on track to have this repaired. And if and when that is repaired surgically, he would be sidelined the 6 months.
Mm.
6 months, wow.
Well, they just need to go get a quarterback. That's all. Brock Purdy's not the answer. He's hurt.
Isn't Trey Lance supposed to be the answer? We're going into year three.
He's hurt too.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't know what he is. What have you seen? Two games of him? Combined 100%. Eight quarters maybe?
And I keep going back to the age of guys like Kittle, who's 29, about turned 30.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Who, you know, injury
in
prone,
and out,
in and
out.
Out
of lineup, stayed healthy like most
Bosa,
of this year.
We talked about.
Yep.
You know, like you got this team that is ready to win now.
Yeah.
Do you want to have a guy like Trey Lance that's still going to have a pretty long learning
no,
curve?
No, I don't. I want two guys. I'm going to make a run for him.
Tom Brady.
I'm going to make a run strong at Tommy. This is your team. This is your deal. Come talk to me. Let's sit down. Let's go over this. And then I'm going to take a sniff, but I got to figure out the trade compensation across the bay, or they're not across the bay anymore, knucklehead, there in Vegas, and see what Derek Carr is. That's what I'm going to do.
I don't think there's a huge market for Carr, Key. I think you could probably get him on the cheap. For,
you don't think there's?
Trade
I think there's going to be a market for
well,
Derek
Carr. Well, it doesn't matter.
Yes, there will be a market. I'm just saying I don't know if it's going to cost you what it would have cost you a year ago.
But even if it cost me a 4 and a 5, that may not. I may not yeah. want to part with that because I mean, that's a – 4 and 5s and 4s and 3s, that's a
start,
those are
a
big
starter.
Picks.
Yeah, you can get a
those are starters and potential Pro Bowlers.
Yeah. Anyway, Tom Brady just costs you the dough. No draft compensation. No.
Yes,
he's a free agent.
Absolutely,
he's from the area.
Yep,
it makes all the sense in the world, particularly is what I was trying to say with reports that Miami's not in.
Yeah.
Does the NBA have an officiating problem?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are joined now, fellows.
Legs.
By Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. What's up, stranger?
What's happening, fellas? You guys up in Bristol, huh?
Yeah,
you know it.
Okay.
You know it. Here enjoying the cold.
I was just up there last week. Yes, I get you.
Are you happy you're back in New York?
Yeah, but I left Florida for this. It was 84 degrees yesterday.
Oh.
At home.
What?
So, yeah, I was in a pool yesterday.
Come on, Legs.
Yeah. Oh, that is. So, what do you think? Legs and I were just talking off mic about, like, first half NBA. You never get to watch a team at full strength, it seems like. What do you think about stars always sitting out these games?
I mean, nobody detests it more than I do, but I've come to accept it. I've got to stop, you know, complaining about it because it just gets my blood pressure up. It is what it is. It's not going away. I think even if they shorten the season to 70 games, played over the same amount of time, I still think guys would find a way to play 60. Like, it's just – so it doesn't matter anymore. But here's the thing. We just have to tolerate, for the most part, up to this point, because now you're going to start to see, number one, guys playing more frequently, guys starting to come back.
Key, meaning second half basketball,
correct.
Yeah.
Key guys coming back that teams have been without for a while. And that last stretch run before you get into the playoffs, and obviously the 2 months of the playoffs, if you love basketball, it just doesn't get better. The best players playing their hardest, that's what you ask for. But the regular season can be a tough watch, and it's a tough job for me as an analyst to cover it when you're trying to talk about games in which key guys and star players aren't playing a lot of nights. Very difficult to break down exactly what that means.
Legs, is officiating a problem in the NBA? Because people seem to think it is in professional sports, whether it's baseball with the umps missing strike calls or football with flags being thrown that shouldn't be thrown or flags that should be thrown is not thrown. And then you got the LeBron James issue the other night against Boston. It seems like it just opened up everybody's eyes.
Yeah, it is a problem, and here's how you know it's a problem. It's a problem because it's not just, you know, the average fan is always going to talk about officiating, right? Every night, their team somehow, the officials cost them the game. We understand an overreaction on the part of the fans a lot of nights. But when you have people that, like, watch it every night and you do it for a living and it's becoming this glaring and this often you've got to talk about it, it's a problem. But here's what I will say in a little bit in defense of the officials. I can't imagine anything more difficult now than doing that job for two reasons. Number one, physicality's been taken for the most part out of the game, right? This is a wide open game. The game is played at the 3-point line. It's almost as if now when there is contact in the lane, it's foreign to officials now because the rest of the game isn't officiated that way. So that's one thing. And the second thing is, imagine doing a job in which every detail of it was shown on replay with 27 different camera angles and super slow-mo. So every single time you blow your whistle, you now have the propensity to be second-guessed on was that the right call or not. It's never been more difficult to officiate, so I'm going to give them a little bit of slack there. But, look, this play brings a lot of eyes to it, and I'm sorry, you cannot miss a foul across the shooter's arm in that situation.
In your face, you have a perfect view of it, too. Come on.
You got, at that point, honestly, you got six eyes that should be watching that play and the potential for contact at the rim. You can't miss it, man. It's egregious.
He didn't miss it. He just swallowed the whistle.
And it cost him a game. I mean, you could sit there and say, you know, a lot of cases, hey, like, for instance, in the NFL game, you know, did that roughing the passer penalty cost them the game? Well, yep. We don't know because it might have taken a 62-yard field goal, and I don't know if he's going to make that field goal, right?
Yep.
This situation, yeah, I'm betting on LeBron James making one of those two free throws.
All day.
To win that game. So that's why you saw the reaction on his part. That's why there's so much talk about it because of who it is. The nature of the game, the national stage that the game was played on, And to miss an obvious foul in that situation when it's right there in your lap as an official, very difficult, and that's why there's so much discussion. And it is. It's a problem every night, but I'm telling you, it's hard for these guys because there's so much scrutiny on every important call because there are so many cameras and replays that are going to catch everything.
Legs, I wanted to get into the reaction of LeBron James because obviously that reaction has gone viral on social media and people coming out saying, oh, the drama, and he's so dramatic. And I'm sitting there, Legs, as a fellow hooper, just like you, and I'm like, okay, all the BS I've heard throughout every single year is, well, guys, don't act like the regular season matters. The regular season doesn't matter. So here LeBron James is, 38, 39 years old, that is on his way to breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record, single-handedly keeping his team in the playoff hunt, right? Playing in the Lakers versus Celtics rivalry, right, to a degree, the biggest matchup that we have in basketball because of the history that comes along with the game, and actually gets fouled, understanding the history that he's had by bulldozing his way to the bucket and not getting those fouls called, and he reacts because it matters, and now we make fun of him. Like, so which one is it? Like, do we want players to value the regular season, or do we want them not to care? Because when I see that reaction on social media, it really gets me angry about the whole reaction overall.
You know what, Jay, I'm gonna lean with you on this, because, and there's a lot of stuff that LeBron has done throughout his career in terms of theatrics, right, that have bothered me and I've commented on. I agree with you in this particular instance. I think that was 100% genuine, and here's where that was coming from. Look what this guy has had to do in terms of putting this entire team on his back for this long a period of time just to try to keep their head above water. You know, they're currently, I think, at like 12th place or something in the Western Conference, but they're only a couple losses out of like the four spot.
Yep.
Every one of these, every night, is critical, and when you have taken yourself and put your team in a position to win the game in that fashion, which they would have, either on a converted layup or making one or two free throws, and then it's taken from you, you know what went in to put you in that position for the first 47 minutes and, you know, 52 seconds. You know what went into that to put you in that position and how valuable these games are. I just think that was a frustration moment, and I thought it was genuine. People can mock him for laying on the ground that long, whatever you want to do. I didn't look at it that way. I looked at a guy that was just unbelievably frustrated with the fact that he had done so much to give them a chance to win, knowing that each one of these now is critical, or they could find themselves completely out of even the play-in tournament. And when you add these up, and I think that's what that reaction was. I did not have a big problem with that on the part of LeBron.
I mean, let's go back to the Dallas game, go back to the Sac game. There have been multiple times things have happened. And as it relates to the Celtics, plus 19 legs on free throws. The Celtics shot 19 more free throws, 49 to 20. Like, that's insane to me.
Yeah, the one thing I will say this. I disagree with LeBron a little bit afterwards. When he started talking about not just that play, but he started talking about bigger picture as if he never gets a whistle. And I had a little bit of a problem with that because I think if you've gone and looked at his career, I don't think that's the case where you could say LeBron's not the beneficiary of whistles driving, you know, and getting contact at the rim for the most part. That was just unfortunate because of what was at stake, and it was so obvious, and it was on such a huge stage. Mm. So I felt where he was coming from, honestly, on that one.
Tim Legler, ladies and gentlemen.
The Legger!
You can catch him across ESPN platforms, all kinds of platforms, including this just in, 2 p.m.
Trade
Eastern.
Trade deadline coming
ESPN
up, Legs. Get ready.
Host.
See you then, Max.
Yes, that's right. Tim Legler, ladies and gentlemen. Good to see you, Legs.
Hey.
The real Broad Street Bully joins us next. According to Shannon, we'll see. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.